huddling up with Upper Cumberland coaches and players.
The playoff brackets are set. Who's in and who's out? Coach Jimmy Maynard calls it a career, and Clay County comes up short at Gordonsville.
From UCSportsNation.com, this is the High School Playbook. The Upper Cumberland's place to talk prep sports. Built by Mountain Barn Builders. Quality products, a high level of workmanship. Mountain Barn Builders, storage buildings, animal shelters, gazebos. Visit Highway 127 between Jamestown and Clark Range.
The high school football regular season is officially in the books. Good morning from Chick-fil-A on Interstate Drive in Cookeville. I'm Tom Duggan for the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Well, we're ready for week one of the playoffs. Today we'll be talking a bit about that in addition to looking back at the week 11 results. In just a moment, Monterey's coach Scott Hughes will join us to talk about his team. Big win for them last night at Wartburg, 68-0. Later in the program, we'll be joined live by Coach Adam Kane of the Upperman Bees. Upperman finished off a 9-1 campaign on Thursday with a big win over Livingston Academy. They will go in as the number one seed out of Region 4, 4A in the playoffs. We'll also talk via telephone to Coach Jimmy Maynard. Made big news this week announcing his retirement after 42 years of coaching. Coach Maynard had spent the last 9 years at Cookeville. We'll also talk to White County coach Mark Frazier. We'll talk about his team's big win over Sequatchie County and talk a bit about Malachi Dowell, who went over 2,000 yards rushing for the season. And Coach Dale Flatt of Livingston Academy also will join us via telephone. Right now, let's run down the scoreboard from this past week, and we'll start out on Wednesday night. Shelbyville beat Cookeville 56-7 to end the Cavaliers season at 1-9. And as we mentioned, Coach Jimmy Maynard announced his retirement on Thursday. Thursday night, it was Upperman over Livingston 49-6. Jackson County got a late grand slam for a 6-2 win over Stratford. Very strange score there. Jackson County clinched the number 3 seed out of Region 5-3A. White County blows out Sequatchie County 49-7. As we mentioned, Malachi Dowell goes over 2,000 yards rushing for the season. On Friday night, Gordonsville with a 21-14 win over previously unbeaten Clay County to claim the Region 4-1A championship. It was Macon County getting a big win on the road in Crossville, 44-10 over Cumberland County. DeKalb County, Stone Memorial, they went to overtime. Stone Memorial scored but missed an extra point in the extra session. DeKalb County claims the number 3 seed out of Region 4-4A. 21-20, the final score of the win at Stone Memorial. Monterey, as we mentioned, they squeaked by Wartburg last night, 68-0. Mason Bowman decided to end the game early as he had 3 rushing touchdowns in the first quarter and a pick 6 in the rout for the Monterey Wildcats. It was Lebanon 42, Warren County nothing. Rockwood and York Institute in a bit of a shootout with Rockwood winning 34-27. Some other area games of interest. Giles County clinches the Region 4-3A championship with a 44-3 win at Cannon County last night. It was East Nashville shutting out Smith County 36-0 to claim the Region 5-3A championship. And maybe a bit of an upset. Watertown over number 2 Trousdale County last night at the Creek Bank, 31-21 to win the Region 4-2A championship. And Red Boiling Springs got their 3rd win of the season. They go on the road and knock off Sunbright 31-21. Right now we're going to talk some Monterey football. Head coach Scott Hughes joins us here at Chick-fil-A this morning. Coach, 68-0, and sounds like the game was never in doubt after the first quarter. Mason Bowman, a fantastic performance. He must have been fired up going into the game last night.
Well, he had a great night, and I think he'll be the first one to tell you it was a testament also to the guys up front and the guys on the perimeter who gave him those opportunities. But I don't know the last time I saw a guy have a better first quarter. He had 190 yards in the first quarter and also added a pick 6 to that. Finished the night with 7 carries, just 7 carries, for 256 yards and 4 touchdowns and a pick 6. So, I'm going to say it's a pretty good night.
That's a pretty darn good night. 7 carries and 256 yards. Coach, what really makes Mason stand out, makes him special, a special football player?
He's a phenomenal young man. And I think that's a testament to his work ethic, and those things just kind of play hand in hand, you know, his character on and off the field, and the way that he handles himself to prepare himself to be good on the field. You know, he's a special young man.
Coach, after two games, you lost two games in a row there, and I know we talked a little bit about your team just fall break, maybe affecting them a little bit, some bounces here and there that just didn't go your way. Did the mood and the attitude maybe change a bit in practice in preparation for this week's game?
You know, our guys know, and you know, I didn't sugarcoat it. I told them, you know, they were 20 points away from being undefeated and, you know, probably being ranked in the top 10 in the state and, you know, being a region champion. But, you know, ultimately, you're remembered by what you do in the postseason sometimes. And if you go win in November, nobody gives a crap what happened in September and October.
Right.
And I'm hoping this football team will take that, and that may be their rallying cry, because we had a different look about us last night. Obviously, in a couple of those losses, you know, I don't think any, you know, obviously somebody beat us, but we more or less beat ourselves with a couple turnovers here or there, or just busted assignments. And that's going to happen. You know, our schedule this year was extremely tough. You know, anybody that follows football and understands the level that we played at this year, you know, and I think that took a grind on us for a while. You know, it's hard to get up 9-10 weeks in a row, and eventually, you know, you're going to have a couple bad nights, or eventually you're going to have a couple breaks that go against you, and we had that. But this is a really good football team that I'm very proud of, and I'm very excited to coach.
I'm sure you as a coach have already put it behind you, because the past is the past. But to the team, do they still feel a little sting from that Rockwood loss? Because that's the difference between first and third place, not just a home playoff game, but a region championship at that.
Well, we beat Rockwood. Oneida's the one that
Oneida,
got
Oneida, I apologize.
Yeah, Rockwood beat Oneida, which didn't do us any favors, because we, you know, typical teenagers, we decided to look at scores and not listen to coach. And so it kind of bit us in the hind end a little bit. But, you know, as we talked about last night, if it was destined to be, it would have been. And so the story was for us to have to fight through some adversity and learn through adversity, and hopefully adversity is going to make this group stronger. I as weird as it sounds, sometimes I like adversity, because I think it really shows where you're at, and it forces your hand to be a mature team, or to be a mature person. And you know, we talk about our football program is way more than just football. You know, I something that we talk about all the time. We talk about loving our kids and having that relationship, and our players having that relationship, and, you know, being more than football. And you know, we're excited about the adversity that we've been through, and I think we've learned a lot through this adversity, not only as a team but as individuals.
Coach, the playoffs start obviously next week. You go on the road to take on a team in Hampton. I'm sure you're still waiting to do a little bit of scouting on them. What do you know about them so far?
You know, quarterback's a big-time athlete. They've won a lot of games, and traditionally they're pretty good up in that northern East Tennessee area. They got some really good size. You know, it'll be a huge challenge. We've got to be probably more mature than a lot of people, because we're going to have to take about a 3-hour bus ride to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ironic, you know, our first round playoff game will be the furthest that we would have to travel. So, you know, we're going to have to learn how to ride a bus a little bit further. We're going to have to learn how to break up a day and try to get a walkthrough somewhere, eat lunch, and just be really focused on the task at hand. It's going to be a big-time trip, more like a college trip than a typical high school trip, just because of the way that we're going to do it. You know, but I feel our team is ready for the playoffs. I think they're ready to make their legacy known in November. And that's sometimes, you know, all that you're remembered by is sometimes what you do in November.
Right.
And knock on wood, hopefully this team's ready to do that.
We're talking with Monterey head football coach Scott Hughes on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, how challenging will it be this year? The playoff landscape a bit different for you. 2A, of course, going up to East Tennessee to play some teams that you're not familiar with, starting out with Hampton. Do you feel like it'll be a bit of a challenge this year with the new classification being what it is?
Well, you know, obviously it will be a challenge. You know, we're the smallest 2A or second smallest 2A in the state, and everybody kind of wrote us off. I think we were preseason number 4 or 5 in our region. Some people didn't even have us making the playoffs, and you know, we played for a region championship, ended up tied for first. So, you know, I think that's a testament to our young men in our program and their work ethic. I think anytime you're in the playoffs, it's a challenge at no matter what level. But, you know, there are a lot of unknowns for us. Mm-hmm. Just not knowing the landscape, not having the relationship with coaches, that presents a different challenge. But at the same time, I think it's good because you see new faces. There's not the, you know, the typical team that you're used to playing or teams that you normally see that everybody talks about. For us, we're going into uncharted waters. We don't know anybody except the teams we've already played in our region. You know, and our kids are you know, familiar with those teams. But the teams that we can see out of the other region, they have no idea about. So, you know, it's kind of that unknown. They're just going to show up and play. And so I'm kind of excited about that.
Coach, what makes your team special? What's something that really stands out about your group of guys this year?
Our camaraderie. It's a really pretty close group. It's a group that is a group of knuckleheads at time that, you know, sometimes the laughter and all of that kind of makes them go sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a group that I love to be around on the field. They know I'm going to push them. They know I'm going to get on to them. But it's something that I hope each and every one of them know that when we come off the field, I love them. And then my phone's always on for them, and I'm always going to be there for them no matter what. But when you see how they interact with each other on the field, when you see how they interact with each other off the field, it doesn't matter if you're an eighth and ninth grader. Doesn't matter if you're a senior, you see them talking to each other, you see them sitting in the locker room together, you see them eating lunch together. And so I think I'm a huge team guy, and I think that's what makes teams really, really special is when you're not cliquey and you know, we do a lot of things different than a lot of people. We don't have the senior stigma. You know, our seniors are cleaning the weight room and the locker room and the field up just like freshmen are. You know, we do, you know, like I said, we do things different. It works for us. But I'm a firm believer that when you see the star senior, he's cleaning the locker room, that sets your culture. When you see the star giving a freshman a ride, I think that sets your culture. And I, you know, I tell our guys, I'm equal opportunity. I'm going to get on everybody when they mess up. And I think that pushes guys in our program to understand, you know, you're just as valuable no matter what your role is. And we preach that daily.
Coach Scott Hughes has been our guest this morning on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, looking forward to the playoff run. I know you got a great group of guys, a great team, and very excited to see what you can do in the playoffs.
Well, we greatly appreciate it. You know, hopefully the Lord will bless us and bless this team to perform to their abilities and keep us safe throughout.
Coach Scott Hughes joining us on the High School Playbook.
Built by Mountain Barn Builders, the High School Playbook. Covering every school across the Upper Cumberland for you.
Some big coaching news this week out of Cookeville as head coach Jimmy Maynard announced his retirement this week. We're on the telephone line with Coach Maynard this morning. Coach, what emotions are you going through right now as you step away from high school football?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of a situation that I've, you know, never experienced, so I really don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, I guess you can take a deep breath and know you know, the pressures of that is not with you anymore. You can, you know, move on to a different segment in your life and do something different. Not sure what that's going to be, but, you know, I will say this. It's been a great 42 years. I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's really not a job. You feel like you know, I know a lot of people don't like their job, but I've enjoyed my job, enjoyed it for 42 years, and obviously there's parts of it you don't like. I don't like losing. I that's definitely no fun, but I do enjoy being around the kids and the camaraderie you have with your coaches and just, you know, that's all I've ever done. I was an athlete, played a lot of sports, and I knew from an early age, like seventh grade, that I wanted to be a coach, and I pursued that, and you know, it's been a good career, and you know, and the people in Cookeville have been tremendous. I've been here 9 years, and you know, we've had very competitive football teams. The players have been great. Our faculty, our administration, it's been a good experience for me, for sure.
Well, Coach, I know you're going to be missed in the coaching industry. Before we get into talking about the game on Wednesday night and kind of reflecting on this season, where did your coaching career begin, and where are some of the stops that you made along the way?
Well, you know, I began 42 years ago at White County. I graduated from Tennessee Tech and started right after graduation. I was there for 10 years. I actually started with my high school coach. He was the head coach, and I was an assistant coach for 6 years under him. Then I became the head coach for 4 years. And so I was there a total of 10 years. I left there to go to Riverdale with Coach Rankin to be his defensive coordinator, and I stayed there for 5 years and worked with that program. And then I left there and went to Upperman, and I coached there for 4 years. We, you know, kind of went into that program. It was pretty down, and got that program going pretty well. And then left to go to Smith County, and was at Smith County for 14 years. Had a lot of wins at Smith County, really good program. And actually, for 10 of those years, I was the principal and football coach. And then I guess the past 9 years, I've been here at Cooper High School. So that's kind of stayed around this Upper Cumberland area in my 42 years.
What do you think the biggest thing that has changed about high school football over the last 42 years that you've seen?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think the players have gotten much bigger and much stronger as far as the players part of it, and a lot more skillful. You know, I can remember when I first started coaching, you really didn't have to coach the secondary very much because nobody ever threw the football. You know, everybody ran the football. It was triple option or wing tee and that type of stuff. And, of course, now it's evolved into, empty sets, spread sets, and everything. So, you know, that part of it has changed a lot. And you know, I don't know. I think the kids, that part of it's changed too. I mean, you know, early on there wasn't as many things for kids to do back in those days when I first started. And I think now there's a whole lot more for them to do. And, you know, I've been fortunate that everywhere I've been, I think our kids have been very dedicated. We've always had very good numbers and our kids have played, which that's, you know, I think that's good because that's not always the case at a lot of places. But, you know, that part of it's changed a little bit. And I don't know, because you change yourself in time as a coach and you start doing things different than you did, you know, when you first started. But that's a few things that I can think of right now that's changed for sure.
Coach Jimmy Maynard joining us here on the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders as he announced his retirement from coaching this week and from Cookeville High School as head coach. Coach, your last game, not the way you'd like to go out. And I know, you know, every coach hates to lose a tough night and a frustrating night, I guess. And that seems to have been the theme throughout the season, frustration. Just has that been the buzzword for this team this year, just frustrating as far as the way games have played out?
Well, I think some of them have been that way. But, last night obviously was a tough night. You know, we knew our quarterback got hurt in the Blackman game in the first quarter. So we knew going in, you know, we had a freshman quarterback, and he did a tremendous job for a freshman. He, you know, only a couple of days of practice and that type of stuff, but which makes it hard. But, you know, we played a good Shelbyville team. I think the record doesn't indicate how good a team they really are because they played a really tough schedule, but they do have a lot of good athletes. And, you know, we had some turnovers. We gave up 3 touchdowns from the offensive side, two fumbles returned for touchdowns and a pick six. So, you know, but we didn't play well. I mean, we didn't do a good job blocking. We just really didn't play well. But that's not always been the case. I think there's been a lot of games that we have played well. We just for whatever reason come up on the short end. I mean, just couldn't catch a break here or there. Or, you know, can't convert a fourth down or can't convert down in the red zone when we had a chance to tie a game. Or, you know, it's just one of those years that it just did not go our way. And again, we know this, we're not as talented as we've been in years past athletically, size-wise or speed-wise. But our kids have tried hard. They've played hard. I said this week in and week out, they always come to practice. They're there trying to give us their best effort. Our coaches are working as hard as they've ever worked. And there's just some years that you're just, you know, you go through that. And I've never been through it. I've never had a season like this in my 42, and it's tough. And I told our players, I'm a competitor, and it gets in my gut, buddy. I don't like to lose, but I want to compete and try to win every game. And I've done that for 42 years, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, this team was 1-9, and that's not what we want to be. That's not a goal that we have. But, you know, for whatever reason, that it happened, and, you know, we just have to live with it, and, you know that we gave it our best shot, and that's all you can ask. That's all anybody can do. And I told our kids, you know, sometimes I think, and I've said this before, you learn from failure. When you're in today's society, especially in education, it's changed so much that we don't kids. It's pretty hard for a kid to fail now. We don't fail kids. I mean, we figure out a way for them to pass. And I think that's doing an injustice, in my personal opinion. I think you have to learn to fail, because at some point in your life you're going to fail, and when you don't allow that to happen, then when it does happen, it's kind of hard to understand and kind of hard to accept. So football, you know, you're going to fail in football for sure. I think, you know, it teaches those life lessons that you don't learn other places and other sports, and it's a tough game. It's a grind. Every day in practice it's a grind, and it's tough. You know, when you're getting knocked on your can, you're out there and it's 95 degrees and you've got on helmets and shoulder pads, and somebody across the line is trying to knock your head off. It's a tough sport, and I admire any kid that wants to play the game, because I think it's the greatest game, and always will.
Coach Jimmy Maynard, we wish you all the best moving forward. 485 games coached, 42 years, and we just wish you all the best. Coach Maynard, as always, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us today.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for all you all guys do for high school football. You do a tremendous job.
Certainly, we are going to miss Coach Jimmy Maynard, retiring after 42 years of coaching. The White County Warriors got a big win to wrap up their 2021 high school football campaign. Coach Mark Frazier on the phone line with us this morning. Malachi Dow, Coach, has a big night as he goes over 2,000 yards for the season, went well over 200 yards in the victory over Sequatchie County on Thursday night. How truly special of a season has it been for Malachi?
Well, you know, I don't think you can overstate it, to be honest with you. We've gone back and tried to go back through some school records, and it's not really close as far as the single season rushing record. I think he's so far ahead. We've gone back 60, 70 years, so I think that's probably far enough. He's probably 500-600 yards better than anybody in the school that's came through. You know, to me, some of the most impressive things about the number is his lack of carries. You know, he missed a game. We played it. He did it in 9 games. And, you know, he's also, you know, especially early on in the season, we were a little tentative with him without giving him the ball 35 times a game. He's carrying it 20 times a game and running for 250. So his average yard per carry is going to be somewhere around the 11-yard mark. We'll get that number fairly soon, but to me that's maybe the most impressive part of it. And you know, on limited carries, 2,000 yards, and just against good competition. I think sometimes people underestimate that. You know, I've always heard, hey, you know, you're a good player, you know, you win games, but hey, it wasn't you know, he's playing Mount Juliet, he's playing Green Hill, he's going to be a, you know, number one seeded team, and he's running for 300 yards against those guys with guys going to D1 schools all over the place. So to me, you know, he did it on a team that went 5-5 and ran for 300 yards against top-ranked teams. So to me, that's, it makes it even more impressive. So I can't say enough about him. Great kid. I think that's, you know, part of it that people don't really see is the rest of the team pulling for him. A senior running backs on our last game said, hey, give him the carry to make sure he gets that number. I mean, that shows, you know, what kind of a kid he is and what people think of him. So very proud of Malachi, and like I said, he'll work hard. He's got another year, so be interested to see what he can accomplish.
And I wanted to follow up some on his character, Coach, because ironically, I pull up Twitter every morning, just kind of check sports news mostly, but the first thing I saw this morning was a tweet from Malachi thanking all of those who helped him achieve the milestone. Not, you know, no chest pumping, none of that. He was really thanking everyone that helped him to get there. And you told me before we went on the air here that he busted off a run that got him to 2,000 yards, but he stopped short of the end zone so a senior teammate can get a touchdown. Coach, that seems to speak a lot about his character. He seems to really have that special character about him.
He does, and I think that's, you know, what makes everybody pull for him so much. He's such a humble kid, and he knows that it's not all him. He knows that his offensive line was spectacular this year. They did a great job, and he knows that the guys around him, those senior guys, he really respects them. And, you know, Javen Strode, he wanted to get him in there. And Javen, you know, any other season would be getting highlighted. I mean, he would have eclipsed a 1,000-yard mark if Malachi wasn't on there. I'm not sure Javen's around 700-800 yards. So him to take that knee down there, well, you know, he made it look good. He had a little slide. People were wondering if he did it on, you know, he even made his slide look good. They weren't sure if he did it on purpose or not. So it was good. So, you know, very proud of him. Just excited, like I said, about his character is more impressive than his athleticism. And that says a lot because his athleticism is very impressive. So proud to have him on our team, proud to be his coach, and look forward to bigger things from him.
We're speaking with Coach Mark Frazier, the White County Warriors, here on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, the game overall dominating performance, 49-7 over Sequatchie County, and other than Malachi having a fantastic night running, what all seemed to go right for your football team on Thursday against Sequatchie?
Well, I tell you, that was, you know, a perfect way for those seniors to go out because of whatever, all the things that happened, we ended up getting a touchdown pass to Christian Kelso, who's a senior on the edge. He caught a 35-yard touchdown pass coming out of the half. We got, like I said, you know, Malachi goes down at the one, so Javen Strode, another senior running back, gets a touchdown. DJ Paul, we get it to him on the 10. He scores a touchdown. Garrett Nash, a senior linebacker, gets an interception, and you know, it just worked out really well. The kids all got in and able to take them off as a group, and the crowd gave them a standing ovation. So it was a nice night for the seniors, a good group of kids that we enjoyed coaching these last few years, and excited for them to get a win on their senior night. So it was very good and very impressed with the way the guys played. It wasn't just seniors that played well, but this is their night, and they did a lot of things and deserve the credit that they got.
Coach, as talented as your team has been this year, and I know you go 5-5, but seven teams in the region, three teams that have been ranked in the top 10, two that are still ranked in the top 10. Any other year, this White County team is probably in the playoffs and maybe even in any other region. Has that kind of, you know, been a downer for the team in any way, or are they still just really proud of what they've accomplished this year?
You know, it's hard to gauge 16, 17-year-old kids sometimes if they realize, you know, if they realize what actually happened there. So, you know, the kids are still up. The kids are still excited. They were very, very disappointed when we, you know, were eliminated from the playoffs. And it took us a few days to get them rebooted to try to finish those last two games. But we as coaches are definitely disappointed. We've talked about looking back on the season of what ifs. You know, we're you know, you speak of some of those teams, and, you know, we're ahead with 5-6 minutes to go and a few games there to get in, regardless of being in a really good region. So it's going to be a season we look on, especially as coaches go, man, this was something that could have been really spectacular. And, you know, but you can't, you know, what's that deal over spilt milk? It is what is, you know, these other regions, I do feel like we would have gotten in, and I don't know that we wouldn't have been a one or two seed in a few regions that were possibilities for us, you know, but that we can't change that. So we're going to be happy with what we did. And I'm very proud of that team. I think they're a really good football team. I would have liked to have seen what kind of noise we could have made if we'd got in the playoffs, because I do think we were capable of playing with some teams that are going to go a few rounds deep. So, but we can't change that. And so proud for them. And then we'll look back on it with fond memories and a good season.
Well, Coach, I certainly think the folks of White County and Sparta are very proud of this football team. They've been fun to watch this year. They've done a lot of great things, a lot of highlight moments for sure. And I expect next year is going to be equally as fun. And we're already looking forward to it. Coach Mark Frazier, the White County Warriors. Coach, thank you so much for spending some time with us throughout the season.
And like I said, we appreciate you covering us. Thanks for having us. Thank you very much.
We'll talk some Upperman Bees football when we come back to the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders.
The Mountain Barn Builders High School Playbook continues. Meet the athletes in your backyard. UCSportsNation.com.
Big win to wrap up the season for the Upperman Bees on Thursday night as they knock off Livingston Academy 49-6 in the regular season finale to finish 9-1 on the season. Head coach Adam Kane and several members of the Upperman football team here at Chick-fil-A with us this morning. Coach, congrats on a big win, a 9-1 season. And how do you feel about your team's performance going into the playoffs, how they're playing and everything?
Yeah, Thanks. It was a big win. You know, I'm not really from the area, but it, you know, people tell me Upperman and Livingston is a big rivalry.
Oh yeah.
It's become a big rivalry. You know, in the 4 years that I've played against them, they're very intense games, and so it was important for us, you know, to come out and kind of assert ourselves in the game and come away with a victory. You know, and one thing that I've learned over the last 4 or 5 weeks is, you know, when these guys are locked in and focused, we're a pretty good football team. So the key is to, you know, try to figure out how we can do that for 4 quarters, because everything changes this Friday, and everything gets a little more intense, and there needs to be a little more urgency from everyone if they want to keep playing. But it's a good group. I got a big group of seniors that play, and I think it means a lot more to a senior than it does, you know, maybe some younger guys. And so I'm excited. You know, we play into the Chattanooga region, Region 3, 4A, and so they got good teams. I mean, they're probably a little different style of play than what we play. But they got good size, good speed, and they can all throw the ball around. So, you know, it'll be a challenge for us, but I hope that, you know, we've done the – put in the time and effort, and that we're up to meet that challenge.
What really changes in your mindset going into the playoffs? I know – I mean, every game's an elimination game basically from here on out.
Yeah, I think you said it. I think, you know, anytime that happens, anytime that's the case, at some point during the week or, you know, the ball game, it's going to hit you that I ever, you know, start making plays, or this might be the last time I put this uniform on. And, you know, I can remember it as a player. And, you know, I remember going into overtime in a playoff game as a senior, and, you know, it hits you pretty quickly right then and there, and it kind of heightens your awareness and your focus. So you're hoping you can get that point across to them during the week, that everything needs to be kind of, your awareness, your urgency needs to be, you know, on alert pretty much the whole time. And so that's going to be the message from me. And I think we're fully aware after the last couple of years that any opponent can play well on a Friday night and beat you. So you want to make sure you play your best game. Your last game needs to be your best game, not right. One of your worst games. So,
we're speaking with Coach Adam Kane, Upperman head football coach, here on the High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, you get ready for Soddy Daisy coming in next Friday night. And what have you seen from Soddy thus far, and some things that you're going to be concerned about going into practice this week?
Yeah, you know, nowadays it doesn't take long to accumulate some film. I've got, you know, 5 or 6 of their games already, and I haven't even traded with them yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably have most of their stuff. I tend to focus on the last 4 or 5 games that they've played. I mean, they look like a opponent we played 2 weeks ago. Offensively, it looks like Walker Valley. They've got a quarterback who I believe is a junior. He can throw the ball. He's got good running ability. They operate out of a spread offensive set. So, you know, at times that's given us issues this year. At times we play really well against the spread stuff. So, you know, we'll be prepared. And you know, defensively, it looks to me like they're basing out of a 4-down defense, and you know, nothing special. They play hard, and they got some kids that can run around, and it looks like some pretty big defensive linemen. But they're a quality opponent. I know they're 4-6 on the season, but I think they've won 3 straight. you know, it always seems to be, you know, the four seed that we play always seems to be kind of on a roll right there at the end. But it's important, you know, when to be playing good ball, and I'm pretty sure they're playing their best ball of the year. I'm trying to call around and figure out if they were injured early on or what was the deal. Why did they struggle out of the gate? But they look like a quality football team that, you know, is going to probably come up here and try to give us their best shot.
We've got several Upperman players who are here with us this morning at Chick-fil-A on Interstate Drive. When we come back, we'll talk a little football with them. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders.
Buffaloes and Blue Devils and Bulldogs. We've got your team covered. The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders.
Upperman football in the house with us this morning. We've got several players we're going to be talking to in just a moment. We've got some seniors, Wes Bowles. We've got Eli Randolph, Carter Shanks, Daniel Metzger, and Jalen McClellan all with us today here on the High School Playbook. Coach, tell us about this senior class. And I know senior night was Thursday night. What makes these guys special?
Yeah, well, this is my seventh year as a head coach. I spent 3 years at a different school and then came here. So this is my fourth year here. Mm-hmm. So this is the first group of young men that has actually survived with me for 4 years. So that's pretty special in itself. You know, the higher level you play, you know, 1 through 6A and all that, the more it's more important to be heavy seniors. You know, we're 4A now, and you know, if you're playing a lot of young 15-year-old guys on Friday nights, they better be pretty special, or you know, you're probably going to take some lumps. And so it's very important that guys stick with the program. These guys have all been with me all 4 years. And so I think that's, you know, iron sharpens iron, I believe is the saying. And so I try to sharpen them. They don't realize it, but they sharpen me every day too. So it's just, to me, a tribute to their toughness and their, you know, mental toughness and that sort of thing, which I think is important in football. You know, I think nowadays when things get tough, it's too easy to just quit.
Right.
Quit and walk away, act like you don't care, you know, whatever it may be. One thing I've noticed about this group is when things get tough, they stick together even more and play even harder and focus even more. And so, like I said before, I think those kind of qualities lend themselves to, you know, hopefully making a little playoff push here. So I'm proud of these guys, and you know, hopefully they can bring it home for us.
Well, let's get them up to the microphone and talk a little bit. We'll start with Wes Bowles, a guard for the Upperman team. Wes, I guess the one thing I want to ask you right off the top, how does it feel being a senior and this being your last year of high school football?
It feels great, to be honest with you. Just how hard we worked over 4 years to finally see it start paying off, and all the chips are laying down how they're supposed to. So it's just really exciting to get these opportunities after 4 years.
What's the feeling of this team having won the region championship and going into the postseason now?
I feel like we're getting really hot at the right time, and you know, we've won four in a row, so this is a four-peat. So we're finally proving to everybody that we're just like all the other teams, and we can be just as good and even better.
Let's go to Eli Randolph, middle linebacker for the team. And Eli, what do you think might change in terms of intensity and focus and everything as you get into practice and get ready for these playoff games?
I think it's going to get way more intense than regular season games. The competition is going to get tougher as we go farther into it.
What's the one thing about this team that you think really makes it a great team? Is it a camaraderie? What is it that really makes it special?
Just a lot of the starters, we've all played together since we were 5 or 6 years old. We've been together for years, and we won the middle school conference championship. We want to try to bring home the state this year.
All right, we'll move over to Carter Shanks, cornerback for the team. And, Carter, how far can this Upperman team go? Do you think you can make it all the way to Chattanooga?
Yeah, I think we can make it all the way to Chattanooga. I think we got a really good team, and I think we can just pull it together.
What makes this group of seniors really special for this Upperman team?
We just all have a bond. Like, it's like a brotherhood out there. We've all, back in the summer, we had a football camp, and I think we all just grew together there.
All right, let's go to Daniel Metzger. Daniel, you're the only one I've got that's listed as playing on both sides of the field, wide receiver and cornerback. Do you like offense better or defense?
I don't think Coach is going to like the answer to this, but I have to say offense better. And
Coach is done sending him to the showers. What is it about offense you really enjoy?
I mean, there's just nothing like scoring a touchdown on a Friday night and hearing the crowd go wild. Man, just can't feel that anywhere else, really.
Daniel, what does it feel like to you to be a senior this year and know that this is your last year of high school football?
I mean, just makes every game mean so much more to you. And you don't want to let your teammates down, don't want to go home, and just means everything.
All right, we'll go over to – is it J.N. McClellan today? Jaron McClellan. I thought I said it wrong earlier. Jaron, you're listed as a defensive end, so that means you're getting after the quarterback a lot, I assume. What's it like when you know that you got a straight shot at the quarterback? What kind of feeling do you get?
It's basically like giving free money. I mean, everybody wants it. It's all right. It's just intense, man. It's exciting.
As you look back as a senior, what's a memory maybe that sticks out over the course of the last 4 years, a special memory for you on the football field?
For me, I'd say, honestly, getting the win over Livingston. You know, they ended our season, our perfect season, my sophomore year. And then our junior year, we were starting to get on a roll, playing good ball, and then out of nowhere, we just get beat in a game that we feel like we should have won. And it was tough.
What would you say about this group of seniors as a whole that, you know, really makes you stand out as a senior class?
You know, the love is real. Like, we're really brothers. We all actually love each other. We've been through so many different things together. It's great, man.
Well, guys, we wish you the best of luck moving forward. I'm excited to see a big postseason run coming up from Upperman. Coach Kane, thank you so much for coming out this morning, and good luck to you and the Bees throughout the playoffs.
Thanks a lot.
Coach Adam Kane and players from the Upperman High School football team joining us this morning on the High School Playbook.
Warriors and Cavaliers in action. Wildcats and Panthers on the prowl. We've got them covered. The Mountain Barn Builders High School Playbook.
The Livingston Academy Wildcats had their season wrapped up earlier this week. As we talked to Upperman Coach Adam Kane, it was the Bees, of course, that finished up the season for Livingston Academy, 49-6, the final score there. Coach Dale Flatt of Livingston Academy joins us via telephone. Coach Flatt, what really stood out to you about that Upperman football team?
Well, I think they're well-balanced as far as offense, defense, running the ball, throwing the ball, you know, pass coverage, going against the run on us. I think a well-balanced team all around.
A lot of people are going to look at Upperman and say, well, they were 3A last year and they stepped up to 4A this year. I don't know if they're all that even with the record. But you've seen a lot of football teams, Coach. Do you think they've got the kind of balance that will allow them to compete in the playoffs?
I think so. I really, as far as teams around in our region, you know, I haven't checked on them a whole lot. Don't really know what's out there, except for around in our area. But you know, like I said, I think they're well-balanced. You know, I think they could go far. It kind of depends on kind of the draw, you know, whether they get a good bracket, whether they don't get a good bracket or whatever. But like I said, I think they could do that.
Yeah, the draw always determines a lot, because a lot of years you've got regions matching up that might have the two best teams in the entire classification. You might actually end up with a quarterfinal round game that, you know, most years could be a championship game, so you always have that to deal with. Coach, looking at your Livingston team and just the performance on Thursday night, what really made you proud about your football team in the last game of the regular season?
you know, it was kind of a rough night for us. And, you know, of course, a sloppy night. It was raining and as muddy as all get out. And, you know, but the thing about our kids is, and this is the way it's been all through the whole season, and it's been a hard season for our kids, of course, not winning games and stuff like that, but they don't quit. You know, they just keep on trying. And that's something that we try to focus on with them. You know, as far as going up against the Upperman team, and I seen last night that they had 17 seniors, you know, and going up against a team like that and most of the teams that we played all year, you know, our kids are 14 years old going against 18-year-olds, and they don't quit. And that's you can't ask for any more than that. You know, you want your players to play hard, whether they win or lose, or you know, even if they make mistakes, that's okay if they're playing hard.
Sometimes that gets lost in translation a little bit, Coach. When you have a young team, and you're talking about kids that are 14 and 15 as compared to 17 and 18. How big a jump really is that? And we're talking about physically, mentally, emotionally. How big a difference do you see in those ages?
Oh, I see a big difference. You know, you think about it. And one of the things, of course, I've coached here for several years. And one of the things that I've noticed, and it's kind of a funny thing, I guess, but when we pull up to the field house to go to practice, there's no cars in the parking lot. They ain't driving yet, you know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, you know. And you just you think of an 18-year-old boy, you know, he's a man, you know. He's a man there. And you take a 14-year-old boy, and he's, you know, he's not got there yet, you know. One of the big things that we're going to focus on this winter is weightlifting. We're going to get in that weight room, and we're going to work hard at that.
Clay County, Livingston Academy coach Dale Flatt joining us on the High School Playbook. We know much brighter days are ahead for the Wildcats with the hard work being put in by Coach Flatt and his coaches, as well as the players on the football team. Well, let's run down the matchups for round one of the state playoffs that will be coming up next Friday night. In Class 1A, Clay County at 9-1 will be hosting Sale Creek in the first round. Monterey, as we spoke earlier to Coach Scott Hughes, at 6-4 will travel to 6-2 Hampton. York Institute at 3-7 in Class 2A will also be traveling next week as they will head up to 8-2 South Greene. It will be 4-5 Jackson County on the road to take on 8-1 Waverly. Soddy Daisy at 4-6 will be visiting 9-1 Upperman in Class 4A. Also in Class 4A, DeKalb County at 6-4. They will travel to East Hamilton, who finished 8-2 on the regular season. 6-4 Stone Memorial will travel down to Chattanooga to take on 6-3 Red Bank. And the Warren County Pioneers may have the toughest first-round draw of anyone seriously in the state. And as Warren County, the Pioneers will travel to Murfreesboro to take on arguably the best high school football team in the state, the 10-0 Oakland Patriots. Other area matchups, it will be the 9-1 Gordonsville Tigers hosting Copper Basin. Red Boiling Springs in the playoffs will travel down to take on South Pittsburgh next Friday night. It'll be the Watertown Purple Tigers at home against Bledsoe County. It'll be Tyner Academy visiting the Creek Bank in Trousdale County. The Smith County Owls with a home playoff game as they will host Fairview next week. Signal Mountain will visit Woodbury. Cannon County with a home playoff game, their best season since 2009, as they finish the regular season at 6-4 and get a home playoff game for the first time in those 12 years. And Macon County will be at home against 6-2 Chattanooga Central. Want to thank our on-site producer today, Katie Topel. Our studio producer is Will Hearn. For the High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders, I'm Tom Duggan saying so long from Chick-fil-A on Interstate Drive in Cookeville.
The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, constructing storage buildings of all sizes for your backyard. The perfect shed, added storage from Mountain Barn Builders. Online at mountainbarnbuilders.com. Or see your building up close, Highway 127. Get the scouting report on all the week's prep action online now, ucsportsnation.com.